Psalm 6:0. I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning on what kind of trouble do you have. I didn't tell her what I was preaching, and most of the time no one knows but God and me. And I really believe that everywhere we look and every place we turn, people are in trouble. They got trouble in the White House up there, in case you didn't know it. They can't ever fix it, because it's got to be the Son of the Living God to make it all come together. They got problems in the community center up here. They never will get it right until they come to Jesus Christ. They got problems down at your job down there, and it won't ever get right until the Lord Jesus gets it right. As a matter of fact, there's some problems down at your house, and it won't ever get right down at your house until Jesus is Lord in that household. There's problems in the church, and it won't ever get right until Jesus Christ shows himself mighty, and he's God over everything that happens. Somebody said, "Pastor, do you really believe that's the solution to our problems?" I believe it more than you think I believe it. Amen. I'm like reporting this morning, Jesus got the answer to our problems. He's got hope for our hearts. He's got encouragement for our lives. And we ought to get excited, because he's come to visit with us. Let's stand if you can. Two verses of reading today. And that'll be found in the 60th chapter, verse 11 and verse number 12 is my primary thrust and concern. If you found Psalm 60, verse 11, would you say amen? Amen. The psalmist said, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." You know, I think I'm safe to say that people are looking for help in all the wrong places. They're looking to all the wrong people for the solutions to their problems. And I'm glad the Word of God is the sole authority for what our problems are. Now, I feel a little something from another city this morning. I feel like somebody bigger than I has come to visit, and we ought to entertain him. Amen. We ought to be excited about what he's about to do. Notice in verse number 12, "Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies." You can be seated. Here's the setting. The people of God have been through some very difficult hours. Their lifestyle has caused the dispersion of their families. The tribes have been scattered. They now have come to a time and a place that they are more vulnerable than any other time. They are left somewhat empty and vacant. Some have gone to the north, and they've gone to fight battle. While they were in the north, somebody like the devil has slipped in on from the south. Sound like where you and I are living, don't it? Every once in a while, just when we think we got our hand on the line and we got it all in control, something flies all to pieces, and we don't know what in the world to do about it. Can I get a witness? So what we find happening now in Psalm 60 is, when God finds these people, he finds them in need of him. I would like to go on record this morning, that's a good place for people to get. If you have a need this morning, I know a God that'll fulfill that need. If you've got a longing in your heart and in your soul, I know, great God Almighty, I know somebody that'll come to where you are and where I am and help us. Boy, I feel like preaching this morning. I mean, I feel like I'm in the outer limits right about now. Something happened in the heart of these people, and I think it ought to happen in the mind and the heart of this present generation. I'm not talking about the church uptown. I'm talking about us. God, help us today how to do what we ought to do for the glory of God. Three primary concerns that the Lord dealt with me on, I want to try to share them with you. First of all, I want you to notice that crises do come whether we're prepared for them or not. I'd like to tell you today that everything will be just fine, and nothing will ever upset you or break your heart or mire you down. But I'd be a liar if I told you that. But I know a God, that'll, great God Almighty, that'll pick you up and help you when it all comes down the toilet. When everything falls apart, when lives are smoldering and smothering in the ruins of defeat. I'm glad I know a God that's up in glory doing business on earth through the power of His Holy Spirit, and He can magnify His plan and purpose for us today. I want you to notice two or three things that are going to be more than evident in our lives. Number one, there is a point to be remembered, that there is a point of a person's life when they turn to God knowing that they need His help. Have you ever been there? Has there ever been a time in your life when you felt like you really needed God? I'm not talking about when your ingrown toenail was hurting. I'm not talking about when your shoes got scarred up. I'm talking about when your life got bruised and your heart got sold. I'm talking about with deep-seated pain. I want to tell you, God knows what it's going to take to help people and raise people's lives up. That's where they were in the 11th verse. They got desperate with God. I don't know whether you've noticed or not. I'm pretty desperate this morning. I'm all hung up on God. I'm stirred in my soul. Praise God. I believe the Lord wants to help me more than I know He wants to help me. I can see a point in a person's life here where they explain and expose the deep-seated need for God to help. If you believe that, would you say amen? I want you to look with me now in verse number 11, and let's take it word for word as the Bible exposes it. I want to tell you, the trouble when we start looking at it in the scriptures are described differently than what we find in our present world. Sometimes in the present world, they say, well, trouble comes at an unexpected time, and that could be true. Sometimes trouble can be expressed as the undesired for my life. Thirdly, sometimes trouble could be identified as the undeserved warrant on my life. But I'm here to tell you, God don't serve unneeded warrants on our life. Everything you got's what you need. Everything I've got's what I need. No need to blame and fuss at everybody else about why you got trouble down in your heart and why you got trouble down at your house. I believe the time's come when we'll take responsibility for the trouble that's in our life and go to the Rock of Ages that can help us and find that He's the calmer of the storm.
Amen. Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I fall flat on my face, it won't be your fault. By the way, if you fall, it won't be my fault. I can see something happening now in the heart of the psalmist. I don't know, I feel like something's walking across my spine, thumping me on my liver and making me want to jump up and holler for God. I want to tell you, God shows us in this 60th Psalm that there was a people that needed the hand and the help of God. Notice the word that is expressed in verse number 11 is the word give. He said, give us help from trouble. I don't know about you, but I want God to help me because God knows I got a lot of trouble in my life. You say, preacher, what's the matter with you? Ain't none of your business. You say, what bothers you? Well, I'd hate to know. I didn't get drunk last night. Of course, I guess I could if I'd take the devil's way out. Don't tell me you won't ever do it. You don't know what you'll do. Best thing you can do is look right up here at me and look me just right square in the eye and say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. He's expressed first things first. He said, give. I want to tell you today, I think church people need to understand that the priority on our worship service is for God to come where we are and help us.
Amen.
First thing He said was give. There are two things that we need to be primarily concerned about. First of all, what God knows needs to be ascribed for our demand. I want to tell you, we need to take the prescription God gives us today and swallow it, and praise God, if we have to have two swigs of water, swig them down and let her go.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He said not only to give. That word describes the ascribing out of their need. It is the matter of bringing or setting in place. You know what? I think that psalmist just said, I'm tired of doing it my way. Hey, you ever get tired of having it your way? We got a restaurant right up the road. They said you can have it your way. Some of you have been to that restaurant. You go pretty frequently. You like it your way. I want to tell you, that goes on a lot of places. People want a church like a fast food line. You won't ever find it in the Bible. You can't have it that way. You've got to understand that when your family gets in trouble, there's room at the altar for you. When your life's broken, there's room at the altar for you. When you, great God Almighty, when you fall flat on your face, there's room for you. He said, give. Give, number one. Give us help from trouble. You say, preacher, don't you have intellectual knowledge enough to know that he speaks of the combating field that rests on the people of God of that day? If all you think that that battle was about was men with swords in their hand fighting over a piece of ground, you've lost your mind.
That's right.
God owns it all. Matter of fact, the best days that God's people ever had was days when they walked in the ground, great God, and they didn't have to do nothing except go like a bunch of crazy Baptists around the walls of Jericho and shouted, great God, that's good. You know that? We think we've got to whip out our knife and pull out our gun. God don't need my gun, and God don't need my knife, but he needs my life. And all they had to do was exactly what God told them. You want out of trouble? You want an answer to your trouble? All you've got to do is surrender your heart to him. I tell you right now, if I could get every person under the sound of my voice to say yes to what I'm preaching this morning, I guarantee you it'd be better down at the house where we live. Our church service would be better. There'd be a whole lot of things to put in place and put in order for us. Notice he said in verse number 11, give us help. Now I want you to notice the unselfish attitude about the object of prayer on the psalmist in his life. He knows that there's more than one person in need of it. Hey, I've already got orders from headquarters. I know what's the matter with us. We need God to help us. We got trouble. You said, I don't have no trouble. You better be careful. You might have more than you can carry before the night sets in. Matter of fact, I'd just like to know, is anybody, maybe you ought to be preaching. If you don't have no trouble, I'd like to recommend you come take my place.
Bless you, brother.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm finding more and more day by day that I need the Lord. I need ascribed to my life. I need brought before my life the hand of Almighty God. I need him to set some things in place and put some things in order. He said, give us help from trouble. I found out there are two things that the psalmist needed during this particular time of his life, and I'm prone to believe that the same existence is relevant to your life. Number one, he needed the Lord's surrounding of his life because he knew he was in trouble. Yes, now I want to tell you, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. I want to tell you, God's a God you can bank on. Take everything you own and go deposit it on the Lord. It'll be put in a safe place. Take your children and your, listen to me, and your wife and youngins, and lay them all down in the boat of God. Give them all to God, and if they die and go to hell, God's a liar.
Exactly right, brother. Good
preaching. He said to us that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knows exactly where we are. He knows the magnitude of our burden. He knows the pinnacle of our success. And somewhere between the top and the bottom, he knows where we're going to need him when everything's beginning to shift in the wrong direction.
Amen.
I can not only see that the White House has got trouble, the community house has got trouble, and the church house has got trouble. I can see our houses have trouble. Yes, sir, that psalmist cried out. He was pleading before God because he knew that people needed the help and the hand of God. I don't know about every other preacher, but I can't preach by myself. My intellect, I don't care how many words I've learned. I play with words. Man, I study words. I want to be able to expound the scriptures to the smallest of our children. That's why I don't use terminologies like angelology and anthropology.
Yeah, go ahead, preacher. Amen. Go ahead, preacher.
There's some things people need to know where I'm at. They need to know what I'm talking about. Boy, I want to tell you, the psalmist, he understands that the point of a person's life when they get to this point is when they know that they need the help of God. He not only needed God to surround his life, he needed God to help his life. That word is the Hebrew word for aid, A-I-D. He needed something outside of himself. I want to tell you something that we need to nail down this morning. You can't do everything that needs to be done in yourself. You need somebody else's help. I've seen great preachers preach. I won't ever forget. Probably one of the greatest Bible expositors I've ever shook hands with was Dr. John B. Phillips, J.B. Phillips. He's a British accent. I watched him one night walk into the pulpit of West Lenore Baptist Church. I seen him open the Bible. He wrote some of the greatest books on the Psalms that anybody ever touched. But I watched him stumble and stutter. And I thought, dear God up above, I know that man's a preacher. I've heard him preach. I watched him search for words and couldn't find them. And I thought, I know where he's at. I've been there before. I've been when I didn't have the word and I didn't know what to do or what to say. But I thought he's a skilled man. And he had trouble. You see, what did he need? He needed the help of the Lord. That's what he needed. You men and women, hear me this morning. You need God. And you don't just need it because I said it. You need it because the Bible declares it. When I say something that the Bible backs up, we ought to say amen. We ought to stand on it. He said, watch hurriedly now. He said, give us help from trouble. I began to dig into that word, and I found out that that word trouble has a multiform usage in it. I found words like the word for tribulation. Now, I want to tell you, God knows we got a lot of that in our lives. I found words like affliction. Do you have any? Some of you are physically bound up because you're not sure where things are. I'd like to lay you in the arms of Jesus this morning. I'd like to let him stroke you and make you feel better. I'd like for you to take your burden and bruised heart and bruised life and your bad feelings. And I'd like to let you lay in the lap of Jesus Christ and let him love you and love on you and just begin to rub on you and make you feel better. Boy, I can see now, not only did he describe to me that their trouble was affliction and their trouble was that of sorrow and tribulation. It was that of crowding in distress. Man, they became filled with anguish. They didn't know what to do. Times got down to where they were being narrowed in and didn't have no place to run. That's where God gets us, and that's how God will help us. When you get where you... Great God, when you get where you cannot run any longer and any further, it'll help you. You said, preacher, why do you believe people quit in the ministry, in the church? I'll tell you why. They get overwhelmed by their burdens and they forget where they're supposed to place them. Seen it happen too many times. I've never heard anybody that just flat bottomed out and took full responsibility for it and said, you know what? My life has just completely turned itself up to nothing and I'm tired. But I'm telling you, the psalmist, he began to look. You'd say, what are you trying to tell us? I'm trying to tell you, as I pan this congregation, I know every family in here has problems and has troubles and has cares, but I know a God that can take care of every bit of it. Don't get mad with me because I found something out about you. I'm not going to quit loving you. I mean, people act like, man, they undercover agents. They don't want nobody to know nothing about them. Lord God, all of us ought to have been in hell with our back broke. Amen. But I'm glad I'm not in hell. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Amen. Boy, I want to tell you, I didn't know it was going to be this good, but I'm kind of liking it right about now. He said, not only can he see them in their trouble, their affliction, their anguish, their sorrow, their tribulation, their distresses, and see them facing their adversaries. Now, I am convinced that a lot of times we've got a lot of stuff that's crowding our lives, and it's come with a different name than what we think it is. Somebody thinks that the devil himself, in the person of the Antichrist, is just going to put a badge on and says, I'm the Antichrist. And I've come to take over. He's going to be more subtle than that. In my opinion, he's going to be as subtle as that serpent was in the garden. I said, in my opinion. Doesn't that sound reasonable?
Yes, sir, it does.
I've heard them guys write them books and tell me, well, I believe it's so-and-so. I don't know who he is. And the truth is, they don't know either. And when the crowd finally finds out, bless God, I'm going to be around the throne, so it won't make much difference to me one way or the other.
Amen.
Amen. I want to tell you right now, you said, where you get that? Because if you read Revelation, after the third chapter, the church is took out.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To the Lamb. Gathered around the throne. You said, what you going to be doing? I don't know, but I'll be getting ready for the supper. I can tell you that right now. Bless God, I have trouble right now. I used to eat gravy, wouldn't bother me a bit, and they tell me now it's clogging me up. Won't it be good to shop with a biscuit and not have to worry about it hurting us physically?
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, bless God. Why? The Bible said, didn't the Bible say we shall be like Jesus? That's exactly what it said. How big you think he is? Don't know, but if he's like his culture was, he ain't a real big feller.
That's right, brother.
You know, what does that mean? Well, we're going to be like him.
Yes, sir.
You might weigh 400 pounds right now, but bless God, you're going to get trimmed down before you get inside the gate.
Amen.
You said, well, I got blue eyes. I don't know what color his eyes is.
That's right.
Well, all I can tell you, be just like him. Ain't that right? Be just like him.
Yes, sir.
You said, well, you think everybody will look the same? We'll there. I got good news for you. I won't have to go down to the belt store and buy me no other suit to put on, because I'll be clothed in this righteousness, and his righteousness is going to make a big difference. I got to hurry. Notice what he said in verse number 11. He said, give us help from trouble. You say, Pastor, my life's hurting this morning. I'm glad you're in the right place today. You said, but you don't understand, preacher, for months my life's been troubled. You're in the right place. You said, my family don't know what to do. It's bottomed out now. You're in the right place. I said, you're in the right place.
Amen. Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir.
Something happened in the heart of this psalmist. And he could see it happening in those that were right around him. I tell you, we all may have a small variation in our troubles, but the truth is we all have trouble. The sooner that we own up to that will be a closer moment of us getting things fixed up in that. He said in the verse 11, if you're with me, say amen. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Can I tell you what I really think's happened? I think he put a lot of wager on what other people could do. And by the way, one of them guys that did writing in the psalm was called David. In the 23rd psalm, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll show you three things that authenticate what I'm trying to prove right now. The first three verses of this same chapter mention God down a side street. It was used in the word T-H-O-U, thou, O Lord. That word was used three different, I'll prove it to you. Some of you looking at me kind of funny. He said, oh God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. Oh, turn thyself to us again. You say, Pastor, what does that sound like? Sounds like to me they've been going in the wrong direction, and they're begging God to turn back toward them so we can get it right again.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I went down through there. I pulled them all out. Everything that I'm talking to you about, I got it down here on paper. The word that he used there for God is the Hebrew word Elohim. It describes God in his uniqueness. It shows God as he is mighty. It shows God as he is great. They said, God, what you've done is that you've scattered us. That word in the Hebrew language means to break away. I got good news this morning. You might have done something that took your life in the wrong direction. I'd like to report in this morning. You can head back toward the house, and
amen,
God will be there before you get there.
Yes, sir.
One of the greatest pictures in the New Testament of the love and grace of our God is a story we read about in the Gospel of Luke about the prodigal son.
Yes,
you remember his father's still at the same place he was when the son left. His father has not changed his mind about his love. By the way, you cannot do anything to make God not love you. You may be mad, you may be crossed up, you may be crossed with everything, but you can't stop God from loving you. When you go into the bathroom in the morning and you look into the mirror to brush your teeth, guess what? God's watching you. When you close your eyes at night, pillow your head down, I'm enjoying myself. And you lay your head down on that pillow, God will be right there with the angels rubbing on your head and trying to make you feel better. I want to tell you, say, preacher, I don't believe that. That's exactly what Jesus done when he went to Golgotha's brow and he died for your sins and for mine. And he held his arms open wide. He knew that he loved you and he loved me. Lord, I can't find a stopping place now. You better hang on just a minute.
That's all right.
What I see happening now is I see this psalmist, he begins to pour out his soul. He knows that God has broke them down. He knows that the Lord himself has showed us his displeasure, but he's now asking God to turn back. He's asking God for healing of their own lives. According to verse number 2, he said, thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. You know what he's saying? Man, we walk to a place that the road is out and we don't know what to do. You said, I don't understand. Hang on just a minute. According to what my Bible said, he said, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little raft I hid my face from thee for the moment. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? That means that God spun around 180 degrees and let them watch his back. And every time they took a step and went a step away from him, they got further and further away from God. That's where we've got. Used to, we could come to church and people felt like it was a place to lay their burdens down. I'm tired of church being socialized. This is not a socializing center. This is a birthing room for people to come into the family of God. It's a place where those that are part of the family can rejoice because the child has now been opened up into this world and that they know the presence of God is here. I want to tell you, when I start thinking about that, I am reminded that the Lord told them, he knew their lives were marked. He knew their hearts were broken. He knew they had been dispersed across the land, but he also knew he was the answer. Read in my Bible, I don't have time. A few weeks ago, I was preaching a message. I talked about them coming from the four corners of the earth. I do believe that's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
And whether I believe it or not, it ain't going to change the fact. It's going to happen. They're going to come from all four corners of the earth. God's going to gather us up. And only listen to me. Believers are coming.
Yes, sir.
Believers are coming.
Amen.
You said, well, what's going to happen? How are they going to get there? Won't need no help.
No, sir. That's right.
God's going to gather them all up. Matter of fact, the Lord had one of man's greatest fears is dying. The Lord's already conquered death.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? He's already conquered death. Somebody said, are you afraid of dying? I don't think I am. I'm afraid what might happen before I die. You say, what does that mean? You figure that out.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, preacher.
Think about a person living at a far distance from the Lord. I want to tell you, these are the last days we're living in. People need to be where there's a good fire burning. They need to be where the power of God is unleashed and the Lord can touch hearts and touch lives. Sister Ruth, I want you to start your way toward the piano, please. I want you to understand with me it's a point in a person's life that toward the Lord they need to turn for his help. Secondly, I want you to understand it is preparing a person to cling to the Lord because there's hope. Some of you in this room this morning, you have thought it's all over. As a matter of fact, you probably even said with your own lips, like many of us, I just believe it's over. I believe it's over. I mean, we're just through. This is it. Last stop. Don't think we'll ever get it right. Now you're right. But I got news for you. I know somebody's already got it right. When God sent his son to that cross, every offering that was ever placed from the Old Testament, it had to be a lamb offered without spot or without blemish. In order for it to be acceptable before the Father, it had to be an offering, not of the secondary, but of the first.
Amen.
That's why we offer God a tithe and an offering from the first fruits of our earnings.
Right.
We give God his first. Yes, that's why we give God our life, our hands, our eyes, our feet. If we're going to serve secondary lives, it need not be for God. It has to be somewhere else. That psalmist said that man cannot help you. Man won't be the one to prop you up. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ will help you. I want you to stand all over the house. See, if anything you want to play, I want you to play it. But I wonder this morning if you would be men and women enough to say, Pastor, I'm bringing my trouble to the altar this morning. I hear you loud and clear. I'm just going to take my heart that's broken. I'm going to take my life that's scarred. I'm going to take my life that's discouraged and down and out and filled with gloom. I'm going to take my inconsistency. I'm going to take everything I've got today that's secondary and left out when it should have been first for God, and I'm laying it on the altar. I'm giving it up today. I don't want to live like this any longer. I don't want to go home at night and my life be my old heart about to beat out of my chest. I want my life to be shaped and fashioned by God himself. Quickly now, quickly, quickly, quickly. Come to him. Come to him. Don't put it off. It's just not worth it. Thank you for being kind. Thank you for being sincere. Heads bowed and eyes closed now. We're not going to play games. But I wonder if you hear you say, I'm coming. I mean, I put this off. The truth is I sense the power and the presence of God, and I want to get it right this morning. I wouldn't care what the devil thought. I wouldn't care what nobody thought. I just want to get it right. That's what I'd want to do today. I wouldn't want to wait another second, another minute, another hour, and things not be right. I wonder if you're here. Nobody looking now. Nobody looking. I wonder if you'd be here. You say, Pastor, I've got trouble in my life, and I sure need somebody to pray for me. I don't want to blame nobody else for it anymore, but I sure do need somebody to pray. Like this psalmist said, he said, Lord, would you just give us help? If you believe that's part of your prayer, would you hold your hand up? Just let me see where you're at. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. See, all around this room, hands are going up. Thank you, ma'am. See, is there somebody else? Pastor, I want somebody that cares to pray for me. I never thought I'd be in this kind of shape in my life. But I'm troubled today, and I need somebody to pray for me. Please pray for me. Would you hold your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Is there somebody else? I wonder if you're here, and you know in your heart you've never believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You never trusted him. You say, Pastor, I don't want to die without Jesus. Please pray for me. Would you hold your hand up? Let me see where you're at. No playing games. Just be honest. Thank you. God knows your heart. Is there somebody else? Preacher, I'm afraid. I'm being honest. I'm not sure. I'm a Christian, and I don't want to die without Jesus. Is there somebody else? You would be honest and just hold your hand up till I see where you're at. Is there anybody else in this house that would be a person of integrity enough to hold your hand up and say, please pray for me? All right? Is there somebody else? Is there somebody else? I want to settle it. I don't want this in my life like this any longer. Please pray for me that God would help me. Please pray for me. Would you hold your hand up till I see it right quickly? All right. Is there somebody else now? All you've got to do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And Lord, I want you to come into my life. And I want you to cleanse my life of sin. Lord, I want all that you want for me. I want that right now in Jesus' name. The Bible says you came for me and you died for me and you rose for me. Please cleanse my life in Jesus' name. Amen.